You will never find the more wretched hive of scum and villainy. We must be cautious.
Galactic Holonet! Welcome to the Scum and Villainy Podcast. I'm your host, Richard White, better known as Kelvin Tiberius, feared galactic lord and known something, I don't know. Moving on is Blair Bunky, better known as Scruffy, the ship's janitor. What's up, Blair?
What's happened, Captain?
So my favorite thing of the last 2 weeks since we've talked is the message you got congratulating you on on your undefeated run at Gen Con. So congratulations.
Thank you.
Yeah, you did great. Undefeated. Perfect. Also joining us today is Mark Fletcher, better known as Sable Griffin, the ship's cabin boy. What's up, Mark?
Still recovering from Gen Con.
Yeah, like did you get the crud or is it just like energy levels? Is your key low
or
something?
More energy levels.
Yeah. All right. And then also coming back from Gen Con is Will Barnacle, better known as Will. Again, we need to get you like some kind of handle or something. How are you going to remain anonymous on the Holonet if you don't have a handle?
Well, his handle is WIL'L.
Right. Anyways, the ship's designated driver, Will Barnacle. What's up, Will?
Not much.
All right, so let's jump directly into Gen Con. A, Blair went undefeated, so good job, Blair. But in reality, let's talk about Gen Con, because I know you, Will and Sable both went, and Gen Con's freaking amazing, and I want to get all worked up for being jealous for not going to Gen Con. So let's go ahead and start, since we can say this is also a booty section. Will, you went to the, what was it? It's the North American Championship, United States Championship. I can't really tell. It seems like the U.S. gets two. But there. Which champion did you go to?
The North American Championship.
Okay,
that's what it is.
North American. Okay. I keep these together. These are things I knew ahead of this. Anyways, how'd you do?
Yes.
I finished top 16.
Man.
To my surprise a little bit. But
Your day one went pretty damn well. For starters, what did you fly? I think we all know, but still, why don't you let us know?
I went with the five rookies, just sticking with the five X-wings until they tell me I can't fly five of them anymore.
So you went with five rookies. How'd you end up doing?
6-0 on day one, and finished first overall on MOV. And then day two, made it to top 16 and just made a brain dead, call on a shot on quick draw, which kind of tilted the game a little bit, and it just kind of snowballed a little bit from there. So at least I can say the loss is pretty much on me, and it was just a dumb kind of sleep deprived mistake. Realized it as it was happening.
Break that down a little bit, because I heard that happened. Like, what was the kind of decision that you came up against? And
so
break that down a bit.
Yeah. So basically, I kind of was kind of slow crawling across the board a little bit, trying to make him commit to a lane. I tried to jump on his gunboat, and it moved away. And, Tyler was basically saying he was going to smack me. I should have target locked it because I knew it was going away. But I also knew that the Reaper was coming up behind, and I wasn't quite sure how fast it could get. And I knew it was Vermile, so I didn't want to leech any hit points, so I was focusing with everybody.
Mm-hmm.
Next turn, I three hard with most of them, basically got arcs on quick draw because I knew he had to come up through the middle.
Okay.
And he unloaded everything into one of my X-Wings. I lived on one hit point with it. Pretty much. But instead of me just instinctively just shooting right back with that wounded guy and being like, okay, quick draw, kill him, in my sleep deprived, kind of sloggy mental state, I had in my head that Quickdraw's ability was like Dengar. And so he had to choose to shoot back at whoever just shot at him to plink the shield off. And so I went with the guy who was range one first, plink two shields off or one shield or whatever it was. And then he fired back at the guy that was injured and killed him before I could shoot with him.
Right.
And it was literally one of those things where as it was happening, I was like, wait, that's not right. I should have shot with the other guy. Oh, crap. Yeah. That okay. Sucks. That's on me.
Yeah. What if? And that speaks to one of the big skills for a tournament like this is stamina, because it's not just being good when you're fresh. It's that, I mean, you've got round after round after round, day after day of trying to think and plan and be tactical and standing. And there's a lot that goes into this. So it's understandable that people start making mistakes, especially later in the tournament. There's no shame in that.
Well, this is the next day, right? Well, no, yeah. Yep. You'd gone a couple of rounds already. Like,
yep. Yeah. It was
64-32. So it'd be your third.
Yeah. And I had the bye round one. So I technically, mm-hmm. it was my second game of the day, but I was still watching round one, really mm-hmm. kind of paying attention from a tactical standpoint, because I was trying to watch who I was playing in the 32 game. So my brain was still kind of working on overtime, and I think I was like on maybe 5 hours sleep if I'm lucky, you know. So it is what it is. I'm not making any excuses. The guy deserved to win. Like, I think someone told me after the fact, he even kind of did a double take and asked me, "You sure you're shooting with that one? Did I hear you right?" And I didn't even pick up on it. I was just like, I just started rolling the dice. And like I said, it was kind of in slow motion where it was like, wait a second, I'm doing something wrong here.
I have done stupid stuff like that before.
Yeah, and I mean, to be honest, if I just look at it, the result was no different if I would have shot with that guy first and completely whiffed. I mean, he didn't have a focus left. I mean, I could have just rolled all, you know, focus or blanks and focuses, and, you know, it wouldn't have changed anything. But it still is in my head that I kind of fucked up. I could have maybe taken one more, that last shield off quick draw with that, but it just happened. And I mean, no shame in finishing where I did. I mean, I think D made the same comments, like when I faced him in the sixth round, that last game on day one. He's just like, yeah, man, you're flying X-Wings. I mean, you're actually trying to actively play the game of X-Wing. What is wrong with you? we just kind of chuckled and kind of went on from there. But yeah, it was a fun time, which is, you know, kind of hard to say when you're dealing with matchups of some of the 1.0 shenanigans still going on out there. But it was fun. The flight assist rookies make the game fun, you know, for me in these twilight stages of 1.0.
Yeah, you see, that's something that I'm looking forward to. I'm finally able to go to a tournament at all for store championship season, just because I've been working, you know, all these Saturdays. And so I'm finally going to be able to go and fly this X-Wing list that looks like legitimately fun to fly. And so I'm super excited. So just give me an idea of what's out there. What do I need to be worried about before I go into, because it is all about me, right? But like,
it's always about you, Captain, the
store championship season, or like Reapers, this tournament. Reapers. They're,
yeah,
they're
Reapers.
Really, they're really good, right?
Yes, very much so. They're really one of those ships that I think all of the veteran players really get and immediately see how good they are. And anyone who's still fairly new, or still maybe who's only seeing, you know, success because they're able to kind of leverage TLTs and bombs and stuff like that, they really don't get how good the ability to just shut off all your mods are. You know, so those Reapers can get up there and jam and potentially jam you, you know, twice with slicers, or jam two ships, you know, with slicers.
Mm-hmm.
That makes your roll naked dice. And I mean, if you've been playing for a while, I mean, essentially that means you're shooting at Omega Leader when he's got you locked, or you're shooting at Dark Curse, you know, without any mods. You know, you're pretty much just going by whatever that dice luck is, and that's not the optimum way to fly, right? Mm-hmm. So it's very powerful, and you'll see them around a lot. if at least anyone in your local area knows what they're doing.
Yeah, it definitely made the top tables, right? So
for sure.
Yeah. So, you know, funny story. So it was in the end, it was Bunn versus Duncan Howard, right? Yeah. So Andrew Bunn versus Duncan Howard. Andrew Bunn, apparently he flew Reapers not even knowing how jammed work. He just thought cheaper Lambda shuttle. I don't know. That's like the story. Yeah, that's someone told me that story, and that's like hilarious to me. Yeah. He's like, oh, this is this great ability that, you know, I'm never going to use, apparently.
Oh, no, he used it like quite regularly, but he was always using it where he thought the ship had to be in his arc, like out to range 1 to 2. He didn't realize it was the range 1 bubble around him. So when Duncan flew past and jammed up everybody with one of his Reapers, undid a double take. He's like, you can't do that. I'm not in your arc. And Duncan was like, but you're range 1. Like, and then he's like, you don't know how jam works. You're on the top table and you've been flying this all weekend and you don't know how jam works. And Bun just laughed and he's like, no. So that is a very accurate statement and an accurate thing that happened.
So I'll tell you what, like, this is how screwed up 1.0 is, right? Like, I've been hammering and hating on Soontirfel since he came out, and I'm unironically was happy to see Soontir at the top table with Duncan flying him. Like, that was something that I was not expecting, but I'm like, oh, that's actually kind of awesome. Great. I'm happy to see Soontir. What kind of freaking world is this?
Where Soontirfel is wholesome.
Yeah, where I'm like, oh, that's kind of cool. Like, yay, Soontir. Like, even though, like, he's been doing nothing but ruining my X-Wing existence for, like, the entirety of 1.0.
Now he's quaint.
it definitely is a weird world. It was kind of, you know, that just magnified when, you know, we're talking about, I think it was national championships, I think even worlds, where, you know, the quote-unquote wholesome list was, you know, Palp Aces, right? Like,
right.
That's a really kind of messed up world that, you know, 1.0 ended up and got to.
Yeah. That's pretty funny. Just in time. So Tyler, you went to, all right.
Is this working?
Yes, it is.
Okay. Hey, things work again. Look at that.
So we have like emergency Tyler, coming in. We were actually just, getting done with, Will's breakdown of, Gen Con. So, Will, what'd you end up getting for booty?
Well, I brought home a medal, so that's extremely important.
That is really cool.
And going to get you someplace in the real world. Also brought home a bunch of alt art for 2.0. I think most everyone was getting those. I got acrylic target locks for 2.0 for making day 2. I got an awesome, like binder for like cards and stuff. Mm-hmm. That's really cool for top 32. Let's see what else. There's like a spot gloss Tempest card, like the TIE Advance, the Tempest pilot for 2.0, which is really, really cool.
That was top 64.
That was top 64. Like lots of just general, you know, art that I think most everyone got. So all the alternate art bounty hunter ships for 2.0.
All the titles.
Yeah, all the titles for the ships. Luke and Vader alt art for 2.0. I think that's it, other than the other just, you know, custom second edition alt arts that groups made, like the crates and Minox and Hangar 19 and that type of thing.
Okay, give me a second to actually throw my Audacity up. Okay.
Are you there, Ricky?
Ricky's muted.
So yes, so Tyler, you went to Gen Con 2.
Yeah.
So and you went 4 and 2. How did you like? So what did you end up flying, and how did you skirt your way into the top 64?
So it ended up being 4 and 3. But yeah. So I flew the same thing I flew at a store championship that I won the store championship with like 3 weeks ago.
Mm-hmm.
Sounds whenever Red Raccoons was. So it was Adaptability Vader with ATC and title. A Scarif base Reaper with ailerons and palp. And then Major Vermile with ailerons, VI up to 8. Krennic, an ISB slicer, and lightweight frame.
Cool.
So it's a full 100 points. So it's a 1, an 8, and then either another 8 or a 10, depending on the matchup. And I liked the list a lot. I think it works really well. If I were to do it again, I would I'd shift it around a little bit. I think I would go with the multi-spectrum camo and then VI on Vader, so that way I have an 11 instead of a 10. I feel like that would have made the difference in a couple of fights.
Yeah, I'm a little surprised that you went with Vader and didn't go VI. I know that you've run Vader enough to where you got a good feel on it, but it seems like Vader's whole point is he gets to be 11. Like, that's the draw for him.
So more so than that, he's above 9, which is the big point. Mm-hmm. So I want to be, because I knew there'd be Sunterfels there. I knew there would be Inquisitors. Yeah, Whisper. Like, yeah, there was a surprising number of Whispers, actually.
I had to go through two of them.
Right. So I knew that being above PS9 was a big point. I just happened to run into a lot more Nims than I thought I would have. And that was kind of the issue, basically. Because sometimes I didn't get the initiative roll. So that just made the game a lot harder than it needed to be. If I'm at 11, I just don't have to worry about those. And I valued the lightweight frame coming out of the store champ because I faced a lot of just basic gun lists, right? So lots of things shooting me. So having the extra agility on pretty much all those shots was very nice. And at Gen Con, there was a lot more harpoons that I went up against that just being able to blow the lock with multi-spectrum would have been easier.
Yeah.
On the higher pilot skill harpoon shots from like Nims or your Empire Aces that have harpoons, that kind of thing.
So was that what ended up catching you, was like a harpoon list and whatnot?
Yeah, I ended up losing to a Nim Miranda in the top 64. So, and like, it was a very, very close game. Nim lived with one hull.
The game. Yeah, sometimes that's kind of how it shakes out. What kind of booty did you end up getting for top 64 that, you know, did you, I don't know if you got a medal like our cool guy Will.
No,
but...
So I got everything that Will got except for the medal and the big binder. So that was 32 and then 16.
Mm-hmm.
Even the 4 and 2 thing was kind of interesting because they told us halfway through the day that they were cutting to top 64. Mm-hmm. And it was going to be single elimination on day 2. There was no more playing rounds of Swiss.
Mm-hmm.
And they told us that after round 5, at which point I was 4 and 1, and I got matched up with Nathan Eide, and we both like went, this doesn't matter, we don't care. And he was also flying double Reaper Vader, but his Vader had VI. So we just kind of flew at each other, and I killed his Vermile, and he killed my everything. And we were like, okay, cool, we're done. We're going to leave now.
Okay, thanks, bye.
Yeah. There was zero reason for us to care. Having done the math on the number of players that were there, we knew that a few of the people that went 6-0 would get a bye based on the system that they wanted to do. So it made sense for Will to try hard and actually win out, which was cool, because then he got to sit and not have to play that first round, which was really good. But yeah, so then I came back, had to play one of my Chicago locals in the first round that Francois, who's very good at Nim Miranda, he's flown it for a long time. And the initial engage, I screwed up because I got my Palp Reaper just slightly in range of both Miranda and Nim so that he ate 2 harpoons. But I went 5 for, like, I got 5 evades on the shots because they both shot through rocks. And when I say, like, just, I mean, we had to actually have a judge measure the arc on Miranda to see if she could shoot the harpoon at him. It was that close because he was basically out of range on the harpoon or on the arc line. And then the next turn I jammed off all the locks and whatnot. It was just that initial turn I got slightly too far forward.
All right.
But after that I made a cool trap on Miranda and she should have been dead. Like, she dies 4 times out of 5 there just on dice, and she lived with 1 hit point. So then Vader had to like peel out and go kill her. And
yeah. That takes like several more turns just to
Right. And basically what happened is Vermile had to go 1-on-1 with Nim instead of having Vermile and Vader. So, and that was totally the game.
Yeah. All right. So I guess our real winner for not having to play 1.0 at all is Mark.
Yes.
All right. So I kind of, since you guys all three went to Gen Con, I'm going to let you start with this. What was your favorite thing you did at Gen Con? And I know that you sent some pictures up on Twitter, so I just want to know what kind of booty you brought home, we'll kind of go from there.
Well, let me start with Wednesday, because that was the in-flight report.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the big Fantasy Flight reveal. That's their big press release each year, which is interesting because there wasn't a lot of release in that press. Most of what they talked about had already been announced.
I completely forgot about the in-flight report. God bless. I am so good at planning. All right, guys. I don't mean to hijack this real quick, but I do want to talk about it. I'm going to talk about the factions. So
we knew coming into this that their plan was to make Resistance and First Order their own actual factions,
mm-hmm,
for once, finally. So we'd have five factions. And then the big news during the in-flight report was that those are not the only factions, that they're adding prequel factions.
Oh, okay. So I wanna know everyone's take on this, just because I feel like I'm the unpopular opinion, but I just don't want any of these factions in X-Wing. I'd rather it was Star Wars, Jedi Starfighter, its own freaking game that was incompatible. Cause I know this is probably not popular, but I don't care. Like, there are some weird looking ships. The Naboo fighters look silly, and I just am not into their aesthetic, and I'm not happy about this. Someone give me a counter, because I'm not exactly stoked. I'm not super upset. Like, I'm not gonna quit, but I just not looking forward to it.
Well, my thought, Ricky, is if this was like a 1.0 announcement, and now you've got like the Naboo Starfighter joining the Rebels Resistance hodgepodge, I'd probably be with you, because then you'd have like a Naboo fighter and a weird Rex tie and, goofy crap like that.
Mm-hmm.
But having them completely separate out, so you're not going to have Luke flying with his daddy, like that type of thing. Like, you're not going to have that. You're going to have the Jedi stuff on their own separate faction with their own identity, probably circulating around like Force tokens and stuff, and then you're going to have the droids and everything on their own. You're not going to have them intermixing with like Kylo and a silencer. I'm okay with that. Like, I'm completely cool with having the eras completely separate. I'm actually really excited about the Resistance and Rebels being split up, the First Order and Empire split up, because it always drove me nuts that you had Kylo and Vader on the table at the same time. That can't happen, right?
At least in the same list.
Yeah, exactly, right? And that was kind of like the weird, goofy thing that drove my mental, Star Wars-ness nuts. So I'm cool with it in that way, that they're all separate.
Tyler, I know you're hype about this.
So one of the things that is important is having multiple small factions is much better for balance than having a few large factions that are very spread out. So from just a pure gameplay standpoint, it's a good thing to have, mm-hmm, what are we going to be up to, seven factions now?
Seven.
Right? Like, that's why everybody else does this. That's why you see 40K have a bunch of different codexes. It's why you see War Machine have, 10 different factions. That's why Guild Ball has 8 different guilds and is expanding there, is because we don't run into these problems where you go, oh, well, we want the bounty hunters to be able to do this, but we're also going to have the IGs part of them, and then we're going to have them do this thing over here. And what about this guy that we want to bring in that makes what they want to be for their faction identity, which is one of the big things in 2.0, gets muddy. Now they can straight up come out, and it helps them when they have low ship counts, because they can go, hey, like, if we want to bring in the droids, Trade Federation, basically, hey, they're the new swarm lists. Like, that's what they do. I don't know if that's what they're going to be, but they can just easily say that, and they can make it to where they're the only ones that get more than 8 ships on the board, if that's the way they want to go, right? Mm-hmm. So that's a very good thing, because then they can make sure that you don't get someone like Howlrunner, or you don't get someone that is that force multiplier.
Yeah.
For those swarms, there it's just all they do is swarm, and it's large number of ships. Right?
I know that that was the first thing I saw, like you posted, like in a chat or something like that, with like droid swarm. Let's go.
Yeah, like, yeah, 100%. Give me like 14 of them, make them terrible, and they can only calculate, and I'm fine. I don't care.
Funny.
Like, so from that aspect, I'm very excited, because we had a lot of. You talked about, like, so we used to have, like, the pillars of X-Wing, right? Mm-hmm. But then that got muddy, because then we had things like, you had super turrets, you had swarms, you had aces, but then you also had, like, these weird ordnance lists that were, like, kind of jousters, but they were different, and who was the best at that, and you had control lists in there, too, and how they went about controlling, and then you had hyper-defensive stuff, right?
And then you had Miranda.
Well, but like, yeah, right. Like you have, but Miranda comes about because you don't have the rebels be.
Did we lose Tyler?
Out of shooting damage and that kind of stuff, then she's significantly less powerful, right? If the new Jedi starfighters are like the best alpha strike guys, and that's what they're good at. They're good at like alphaing stuff early, and then you have to snowball, and that's how you get your lead. Cool. We can keep that stuff in that faction, and we don't have to worry about that bleed over when they release another, like a newer torpedo or missile later on down the line, of just breaking all the other factions. Right.
And you could theoretically have like faction specific, like ordnance too. So
yeah. Sure. You absolutely could. Absolutely, right. But yeah. Like
nothing stopping.
Yeah. But in 1.0, you really couldn't, right? Like, I mean, even if it was faction specific, it was just like, oh, well, okay, that one's if it's in Rebels, that's going on Miranda. Like, we can't make a cool A-Wing alpha strike list for like low pilot skill alpha in some way, because you're just going to throw that crap on Quick Draw or Miranda or that kind of stuff.
Blair, right? what's your take on the new factions? Are you excited at all? Do you feel nothing? Like, where are you at?
Well, I don't really have the miniature background of the rest of these guys, but I do know in like other games, like there was this game that you've probably never heard of called Battle for Westnoth that I played. It was based off like an old Sega Genesis game, and I believe they had 6 factions, and it was interesting the way they did it, because there would definitely be like units that you would look across and be like, okay, well this unit is way better than this, so where's the balance in that? But then the argument would be, well, this faction, even though this unit kind of sucks, this faction's way better at doing XYZ, so he kind of needs to suck, or else it would be overpowered. So, I don't know if that's the direction they're going to go, but, yeah, having all... They couldn't do that with 3 factions. You had to have everything... You had to have a TIE Fighter and Xander 5 be on the same course, because they didn't have that room for that kind of diversity. So, that's just one... That's probably my big thought on that.
All right, so I didn't mean to like jump and just completely cut off your story, Mark, but you reminded me that I wanted to talk about that, and here we are. Are you excited for the new factions, Mark? I mean, I don't know how much.
Yeah,
go ahead.
So from a game standpoint,
yeah,
I'm excited.
You're the guy who like refuses to admit the prequels even existed.
What? Didn't.
I do have to say, if I hear any rumors of a midichlorians card, I might burn it just out of spite.
And you know that Let's Try Spinning is going to be like on some card somewhere.
That's literally going to be his pilot ability.
Like,
that's going to be named that. It's going to be great. He's just like, anytime he does an action, he gets a free barrel roll.
Yep. Yeah.
Get ready for the new Sabine to be Anakin.
From a game standpoint, I'm excited. From a Star Wars standpoint, I don't know who any of these characters are.
This is interesting. Anakin?
They're just making shit up now.
All right, so you went to... completely sidetracked for like 5 minutes. You went to the in-flight report, right?
Yeah. That was interesting, because we got that... Armada finally got a new ship after a year.
Oh my god, Superstar Destroyer. I'm going to buy one of those. I don't care. I don't care how expensive it is.
I'm so in. Like, am I going to buy one, but I'm going to buy one and only play that in an Armada store championship.
I'm never going to buy an Armada core set, and I'm going to buy the freaking Superstar Destroyer. I don't care.
You can literally stab somebody with that. It's like sword-shaped.
I want to see a Gen Con like murder scene, you know, with the freaking SSD just sticking out of somebody.
All right, so cool.
They also announced Keyforge, which looks like a cool little palette cleanser game. Mm-hmm. It'll never be something I'm competitive in, but as a, you know, hey, we've got half an hour, let's play a game. That sounds like an awesome game for that.
I don't know it will ever be competitive in a well.
Yeah, probably not, but it looks fun. Then you've got Thursday. I played in the 2.0 pre-release tournament.
Sure.
That was a lot of fun. I had a lot of fun in that game. Played Vader and Atai, of course, because Vader.
Yeah, apparently, guys, apparently that's a thing. Like at that tournament, was the point where everybody was doing that? Is that the case?
No.
Like,
No. The people, it was actually kind of rare. It was like there was a correct answer for this format and you chose wrong. But that was fine. I lost a ship the entire tournament.
Was it the tie?
Tournament. It was fun. And a lot of people are now howling that Vader OP, Supernatural Reflexes OP, end of the world, this is breaking everything. And no, it was just that exact format that Vader was particularly good.
Well, Tyler, you think that... we're going to get into 2.0 point costs here in a minute. So you actually did the meme list.
I did. I got the alternate art Luke, and I got the acrylic focus and evade tokens, which is kind of cool.
Now, yeah, Tyler, did you understand how the event worked?
Yeah, we talked about it going in last time. You picked threat, right? So it was like something like 5-6 threat.
No, yeah, we're talking about the actual event.
Yeah. Mark, talk about that.
Okay, so this was clearly designed for people who had never played X-Wing or miniatures game or understood the concept of plastic or the first round, because every round it was a little bit different. The first round, there was no obstacles. Both players deployed at the range 3 band and from their edge of the board.
Okay.
And then once everybody was placed, you and your opponent had like these 6 acrylic tokens that you put face down, mixed them up, and then each of you placed one at a time like obstacles. And then when you flew over the token, you got it, and the acrylic token didn't go away at the end of the round. So if I'm just throwing this out there. If you were like Vader or something and flew over 2 evade tokens, you had 2 evade tokens the entirety of the game until you spent them.
Wow.
And as soon as we figured this out, Vader can hit 3 tokens on the opening move with a 5-4 and a barrel roll.
Yeah. So, yeah.
So you degenerate bastards are playing like
that seems like a great way to get players into the game.
Nice
they can play
people
against
into
that.
The game, and like so, you figure out how to like ruin someone's first game.
There's 2 points to this. First of all, yes, like hyper degenerate, but there were like I don't think you understand how few of us there were. Like, there was like 100 people in each flight, and there was like 10 Supernatural Vaders in each flight. Everyone else was just like running super wholesome crap.
Right.
They had no right being there.
And I knew about the token thing and deliberately didn't do it.
I only did it in game 3 when I was against another Supernatural Vader, and I was like, okay. Part of that was Chris Allen played against a kid in the first round who was running like Merrick in two ties and then just like trounced him, right? Because it's Vader versus Merrick. And the kid just goes, man, Vader's way better. I'm going to fly that for the rest of the tournament. And we were like, sure, whatever, it's fine.
That's funny.
Then the second round, you deployed in the range 2-band, and then you got 4 obstacles, and they could go all the way to the edge of the board on the right and left.
So you just set them on the side.
Right. And then round 3 was standard deployment plus those tokens.
That's so funny. I love that, though. That sounds fun. To be fair, that does sound fun, like Mario Kart tokens on the board.
It was not what you call a balanced tournament, but it was fun. It was fun. Yeah. It was fine.
There's nothing to see here. I did feel bad in my first game because there's no obstacles on the board, right? And so Merrick went like nose to nose with my TIE fighter. And then K turned behind it, which was basically like half the board away from Vader. And I sat there and looked at it, and I was like, okay, I have Supernatural, I have Afterburners, and I have my 3-bank dialed in. I know I can kill him, I just have to figure out the puzzle real quick. And then I did, and I moved like halfway across the board right to his flank with target lock and focus, and then he just died. Uh-huh. I was like, oh, I'm sorry.
That's so...
Yeah.
Because you ran over the tokens.
Oh, I already had the tokens from the previous turn, but yes. Like, okay. Well, no, because he's Vader. So yeah. 1 force for Supernatural, then I get my actual action that isn't my boost, because that's an Afterburner boost. So then my actual action was to target lock, and then I spent another focus or another force to focus. Boy. I have you target lock focused, ranged 1, after I barrel rolled and boosted in the same turn, and an extra force just because why not?
Will, I just want to tell you
that
this whole conversation is making me like you more because you were at least wholesome enough to not fly Vader and fly something Rebel.
You're talking to Will. Yeah, he did that.
Oh, yeah, sorry. I thought you were still talking to them. No, I flew Luke Dutch and had a lot of fun, and then played Chris my second round. chased his Vader for pretty much the entire time. Went to time, I believe, because I don't think my Luke died. And then my round 3, I was in that situation where I legit felt bad because I was obviously against somebody who didn't get the memo that Vader's good. And he was flying 2 of the named TIEs and a generic advanced. And I proceeded to kill all 3 of his ships in 5 minutes or whatever it was. Like, it was literally like proton torpedo, proton torpedo, proton torpedo, proton torpedo. Everything's dead. I'm sorry, man.
So... in my round 3, I was up against Luke in Hawaii. It was probably Dutch. Must have been Dutch. And I just kind of take Dutch off the board. They nuke my TIE fighter, and then I just kind of remove Dutch from the equation. And then I K-turn behind Luke, and I put the crit on him that he is ioned. And then... I move in and hit him again and put the crit on him that ions him.
Oh, boy.
Again?
Oh, boy.
Did he forget to shuffle his damage deck?
No, because then
the tops
would be directs. Right. This is important knowledge for anybody who thinks, shuffling's not important. It's a new damage deck. Your first crits are going to be direct hits followed by fuel leaks. So shuffle your damage deck.
All right. So you guys played the 2.0 tournament. Let's move on to, because we're already like 40 minutes in. Jesus. What was your favorite thing you did at Gen Con? We'll start with you, Mark.
So I really enjoyed the 2.0 tournament. Mm-hmm. I had a lot of fun in the 2.0 tournament. And then the next day I went and played L5R and it was okay. Fine.
Well, I'm glad that 2.0 is exciting for you then. Like we're going to pull you back in, man. I like that. Tyler, what was your favorite thing you did at Gen Con?
Jokingly, I think it was when I did an interview in the line for the FFG booth.
Yes. I haven't seen that video, but I saw the nice kids comment. Like, I just,
right. Well, so it was, me, Luke, and then Ryan Farmer were next to each other. Right. Mm-hmm. So we were just sitting there and we, 1 second, let me get.
Did you enjoy standing in line and then realizing that you could have just shown up on Sunday and bought all of the stuff with
no line? No, yeah. I only got an Imperial conversion kit and a core set that I wanted to just have the stuff ready for before the 2.0 event. And we were just looking through the 2.0 Empire stuff because we were doing a mock draft to see how long it would take. Like with the cardboard and that kind of stuff.
Sure.
It wasn't a big deal, but there was another person in line that was standing next to us. That was kind of like talking to us like, hey, I think I want to get in for 2.0. And I've kind of looked at some stuff and I've net decks and things like that. Cause he was a big Destiny player and was just asking general stuff or whatnot. And so we'd been kind of talking to him or whatnot. And as like we were snaking through the line, there's a guy there and a girl with like very nice cameras, obviously like doing videography stuff for Gen Con. And he's asking what everybody's in line for. And pretty much everybody responds with X-Wing 2.0. And he was like, oh, well, like what's cool about 2.0? And the kid we'd been talking to just turns back to Farmer and I is like, oh, you should talk to them instead. Don't talk to me. And so he just starts asking us some questions. Right. And so like me and Farmer kind of give him 2 minutes worth of an answer or something like that. And don't really think anything of it. And then he continues on. And I make a quip about, cause we're talking about the app being usable for balance purposes. I was like, yeah, if Wedge comes out and there's a new card for Wedge and he becomes super good and starts one-shotting Death Stars left and right, then we know that Wedge is too good and we need to do something about it. We can't do anything about that in the current iteration of the game in any quick timeline. And so, then we go on about our day. Well, that then gets posted to YouTube under whoever the guy's channel is. And at that point, then other people start commenting it because they're, watching from not at Gen Con. So they're trying to keep up with all the coverage and whatnot. And someone's like, hey, that's like Ryan Farmer from Minox and Tyler, like one of the competitive guys. And there's the comments, they were really great kids.
Sad about that is it's not Tyler Tippett, Scum and Villainy. We don't brand enough. That's not branding right, man.
I don't know. I give out pins every time I'm around stuff. I feel like the funniest thing was
go ahead. Tyler showed us a screenshot from the video. It's like multiple comments. And the one comment says, lol, that was Ryan Farmer, host of the Minox Squadron podcast, and Tyler Tippett, one of the top competitive X-Men players in the world. And that's the only comment that Tyler has liked out of like all the comments.
There was three total comments.
I still stand by my decision to just keep my head in my phone and not speak up.
But that was a funny just overall.
Will, what was your favorite thing you did at Gen Con other than the X-Wing tournament?
I'm super glad Tyler did not steal this from me, but Lupin Chewy, man, that is the that is the best $2 anyone can ever spend ever. I will stand by that statement until I die. That event is so fun. I don't know which was better, the one that we just completely blindsided that dude last year or this one where he legit was prepared and he busted out the Lupin Chewy original prototype for the finals. it was glorious. It was so much fun. I lost the Will off between me and Will Hagwood. It was a sad day, but I made him earn it. came down to the last little stormtrooper. It was super fun. I think it worked a little bit smoother this year because he was a little bit prepared. I also heard some stories. I don't think I noticed it myself that there were still a couple random like little kids or maybe some parents or something that were a little bit confused and a little bit angry that we were taking over this event that they were trying to do.
I don't know about angry, but there was definitely like two families there that had younger kids in the crowd. It was kind of funny in the second round I was playing and there was probably a younger teenager kid kind of thing, only 14, 13 to 15, somewhere in that range. I have a hard time with ages.
Sure.
And all of us that are competitive X-Wing players are making like X-Wing jokes and memes back and forth the entire time. Like, you know, I have the high ground, or, oh, they're stalling for time, that kind of stuff. And you could tell that he was like wanting to fit in with everybody else, but he didn't understand what we were talking about in any way. So
well,
then he was
fair,
making
like,
I just
literally prequel
have lag
and stuff. Yeah.
Right. No, it 100% is. But he was just saying things like, oh no, I had lag, or, oh, I misclicked that one. And I was like, this is funny. But like, okay, sure.
I'm just waiting for the organizer next year to have the casual tournament and the competitive tournament.
Yeah, for sure. It was also nice too, because they had a Gen Con photographer there, and he was like, what's going on? And I was already eliminated at this point. So I was just like, oh, this is the Loop and Chewy National Championship. He's like, well, what are you talking about? I was like, oh, it's this kid's board game that, you know, a bunch of 30-year-old adults come and play every year at Gen Con. It's like, this is hilarious. So he has actual like close-up pictures of the finals. So I'm waiting for them to hit Gen Con's website.
That's hilarious.
Yeah. So I gave him like the quick, 5-minute background of like why we all played it, because someone found it in a clearance bin and that kind of stuff.
All right. So we're like 45 minutes in, and I think we should get into actual, new X-Wing content if we have time here. So of course, immediately after we recorded last week, they released the points. For not last week, 2 weeks ago, right? They released the points for 2.0. Like, we know what everything costs now. Everything that's been released, we know what it costs. And basically, for me, I am now 100% bought in, because I know what everything costs. I can build lists. I can start the theory craft, and I am in. I am hyped up. And I want to jump into some of the things that stand out about the new lists available, things that you can build at the 200-point format. I don't want to go into every single card, but I do want to give everybody sort of like, all right, the points are available. What are some of the things that stand out to you and that sort of thing?
The other thing that happened with that, too, is the three faction polls for Coruscant went up and have been decided. So there's now the cards for each faction that have to be included.
And so what is that? That's Ruthlessness, Leia, and what was the scum one? The Boba Fett?
Boba Fett crew. Yeah. I won't say that Imperial propaganda worked, but we're going to go with Imperial propaganda worked. this is how we're going to go with that.
Yeah, because isn't Ruthlessness 1 point?
Sure is. Sure is, buddy.
And you can legit build it into like normal swarmy lists.
You can
like,
build that into anything because it's a 1 point EBT. Unlike Leia and Boba Fett, which a lot of people didn't understand the subtle push for Boba Fett from everybody that didn't want to play scum. And it's not because Boba Fett crew card is bad. He's actually pretty good and like opens up some weirdness. But
it's the pilot.
I thought you had to play all three factions.
I don't know. Do you?
That's how they've done it the first 2 years.
I can't imagine they do that.
I don't think you're going to have to play all three factions, Blair. I say that based on the fact that I don't think they would want to require us to buy all three conversion sets.
I'm just waiting for next year when you have to play all seven.
Well, no, the one I really want is I want you to have to play the faction that you qualified with. That'd make me even more happy. That'd make me sad for Blair, but it'd make me happy for everybody else.
All right, so let's jump into 2.0 prices. So I'm just going to go down the list of some questions for you guys to some of the things that stood out to you for bargains or maybe overpriced or underpriced, what you guys are going into to when you're building lists, and some lists that you want to check out. Tyler, to give you homework that we did off screen, if you've got a list that you've got ready for 2.0, you paste that in our chat real quick. Anyways, sure. So to start off, Will, what is a card that you're certainly kind of zeroing in on is a good value or now that 2.0 is out?
Well, I mean, one of the things that usually I start with my Rebel list building is I look at the X-Wing point costs and go from there. Specifically Wedge. I've always, just been a fan of Wedge. I've been trying to,
by the way, because we've been talking about this. Wedge is good.
Yeah. His price point, this, this version is pretty fair, I think. It's effectively 3 points cheaper than his 1.0 pricing if you do the times two comparison, which I think is good. So I've been trying to try and look and see what I can kind of build around Wedge. And I also, you know, really like Arvel in 2.0. I think he is going to be a stellar, you know, list addition on the Rebel side. So A-Wings rejoice, Ricky.
Yeah. Well, I think here's I low key am worried about A-Wings. I think that Arvel's good. And I think that, the cheap ones with homing missile might be good, but other than that, they seem, something feels off about them, but I am all in for Arvel too, man.
Yeah. So, and with that, I was basically just going to bring up homing missile. That to me for 3 points, seems like a really, really good, you know, munitions card for 2.0. So, I think that's not anything new for anyone that's been looking at prices on things. You know, I think homing missile jumped out to everybody.
You can easily stack that on anything and it'll be useful. That's the thing I keep thinking about it. Yeah, like no matter what, that's a good card. You either have a good dice roll or you're going to do a damage automatically, and I'm good with either, you know.
Yeah, and I was just going to say, Ricky, I think, you know, there might be something to just trying out six Phoenix squads with homing missiles, just seeing what happens.
Yeah, I'm going to try that eventually. But all right, so let's see here. So that's some things that you liked, Blair. So what are some of the cards that stand out to you immediately as like either under or overpriced?
So I'd like to give a shout out the Face Owls xwing.blogspot.com. This is a blue rook on Reddit and Vassal. I don't know his name in real life, sorry, but he actually won Canada a year and a half ago, and he did a great article just breaking down every single pilot and their cost increase or decrease from 1.0, and if anything changes that, like if they lost TLT or auto thrusters or the turret or whatnot. And that's a, like, if you really want to look and see, I think that's definitely something you should check out. But things that jump out, so Fen Rao, Scum Fen Rao is 17% more, which is a way bigger jump than the rest of the Fangs. Still think he's 100% worth it. with fearlessness and his title and his action bar, his dial is still the same. I mean, there's what other ship can get five dice reliably with full mods? And I mean, he's relatively safe at range one as well. I mean, even 17% more, I still think he's worth it. So definitely recommend that to a lot of people, but yeah, there's a lot of stuff that jumps out to me, but I'll let the rest of you guys go.
Sable, what's a card that's jumping out to you?
Who did you say? I'm sorry.
Sable, sorry.
Can I not hear people?
No.
No,
this Discord's a little choppy, Ricky.
Yeah.
That's all right. Keep going.
So, Tyler, what's a card that stands out to you?
Like a pilot or a card in?
Yeah, something that's like something that you think is currently undervalued. Like, I know that you're a strong proponent that Supernatural is good.
Yeah, know? It's, I don't think that's bonkers surprising. Good.
But
it's bonkers good, dude. So it's a, like, I think it's more of a concept. Actions are more limited. And I think after like the barrel roll like nerf to where it's not as you don't have as much options with it and whatnot, that anything that lets you reposition with like full game state knowledge is going to be way more powerful than it used to be, especially in skilled hands. So I think that those like pilot skill six aces that can double reposition still reliably are going to just be that next level like power curve thing. So your Soontrafel is still going to be really good. He's not going to be the same Soontrafel. He's going to be different, but he's going to be powerful. Vader with Supernatural is silly good. I mean, he's almost 100 points. So admittedly, he should be that powerful, but and then same thing with like Advanced Sensors. Defenders are going to be just bonkers to try to track down.
All right, and I think Sable's out at the moment. So let's kind of jump in. Okay, you're there. Sable, what's a card that that you think is over or under costed? Or you're looking out for?
I don't know if this is over or under, but Afterburners is really good.
Yeah. I mean, that fits in with mine, what I was saying, too. Like, anything that gives you that positioning, like, holy crap, are they really good?
Yeah, yeah. And the fact that Afterburners works if you're stressed.
Yeah.
That's so, okay, K-turn, boost. That's so good.
Mm-hmm.
And I can do it twice in a...
Yeah. You have two get-out-of-jail-free cards.
Yeah. So let's kind of jump into some of the things that we're building or sort of like what we're looking at when we're building 2.0 lists and the sort of mentality of it. Sable, like, why don't you, cause that was something that you wanted to talk about.
Yeah. So I wanted to talk a bit about this because I know there are a lot of players that are, paralyzed. I mean, the choice paralysis is real here. So I wanted to talk a little bit about how to approach building a list in the 2.0 environment.
Mm-hmm.
Because one of the first ways to do this is just to find a ship you want to run or two and see if you can make a list out of them and then fill in points afterwards. So say I really, really want to Guri, I'll kit her out how I want. Okay, I've got plenty of points left. Who else do I want to run? Well, I want to try to experiment with IG-88D, kit him out the way I want, and then can I fit anything else in? Do I have to take off any points? So that's one approach, is just try to build a list based on ships that you want, get it on the table a couple times, and then go from there. The second is to netlist, except there are not a lot of netlists out there. And an important thing to realize is that anytime somebody comes to you right now and says, this list is going to be a top tier list, they're wrong. I don't care if they say, but math says that this imaginary jousting value is amazing, and therefore this is the best list ever. They're wrong. Nobody knows what the top lists are because nobody knows what the meta is yet. Nobody knows how this is going to shake out yet. So be very careful if somebody tries to claim that something is amazing until things start to shake out, because they may be answering a question that isn't asked. Another way to do this is to take a look at what was really good in 1.0 and see if it translates. Some don't. Like, Sunterfell was really good in 1.0, but the new Sunterfell is not the same Sunterfell.
I think he's still good, though.
Yes.
Yeah.
He's probably still good, but if you try to come into 2.0 assuming that he's the same and assuming that he'll fit into the list the same, you may be disappointed. Maybe not, but you've got to be careful. But that's only going to take you so far because so many things have changed that the environment you're walking into isn't identical.
Yeah, yeah, the waters are choppy. Like, anything's possible right now.
And ultimately, that's a key point, is that nobody knows what tier one lists are, because there's not that breadth of experience or tournaments behind us to be able to say that this is a good top list. And that is something that most X-Wing players have never encountered before. So it's daunting.
Yeah, it's like back in the Wave 1 days. We're in the Wild West again, boys. Woo!
Right.
Good, Tyler.
I would say on that note that while we don't like know specifically like what necessarily that like the tier 1 list is going to be, we do have those like benchmark lists that like you have to be able to do X or else not going to matter already. Because, like, if you just can't handle a TIE Swarm, Like, yeah, like the easy tie swarm is going to be like Howlrunner, Iden, and 5 Obsidians. Like, no upgrades, just those 7 ships. Mm-hmm. If you can't handle that or you don't have a plan to handle that, like, you're going to have a bad time in a tournament.
Yeah, it's one of those things where it does remind me an awful lot of Wave 1 and Wave 2, mm-hmm. Where you really had to make sure that you had the... at least like Tyler said, like that game plan, if you saw the 6 or 7 tie swarm, you know, sitting in front of you, like you knew how to kind of handle it. I think that's going to catch a lot of players off guard, especially because swarms have been, you know, kind of absent from the meta, pretty much since the Jumpmaster just started destroying everything, which is what, 2 years ago now, something like that.
More than
it was launched, but yeah,
whatever that was. So, it's been an awful long time, and there's a lot of new players or new-ish players that haven't really had to face a swarm. We see them, you know, all the time in, you know, side events at like Crossroads with the Wave 1 to 3 tournaments. You put a swarm across those guys, they're like, I have no idea what to do against this. Mm-hmm. And conversely, they have no idea how to fly it. Mm-hmm. So, those are going to be some interesting things, but yeah, that tie swarm, the 6 or 7 tie variant is going to be probably like, I think that benchmark list that you're going to need to figure out how you deal with it or what you have in your list that can deal with it. Cause that is going to be a staple in the meta. Now we don't know if that's the best pillar or whatever you have, but we just know that that's going to be something.
You're going to run into a bunch of tie swarms. That's what I'm going to, yep. That's the first thing I'm going to try out is see how a tie swarm feels. Yep. Blair,
resurfaced.
Blair, what are you looking at when you're going into list building into 2.0?
Same thing I did in
1.0. Okay, fine. Like then refresh us. Like what are you kind of looking at?
How can I fit the most B-wings in? No, I mean, man, I feel so freed. Like it used to be like I had to like think like so hard, like, and like usually there would be like one list available that like after like tons of like theory crafting and playing, I could finally figure out maybe one list that I've maybe got a chance here in the meta. Now I'm just looking at like I can fly this, I can fly this, I can fly this. So for me, I mean, I still don't know if I'm going to be flying stuff that my cat's coming in now. But I'm just so excited to literally try everything. But Tyler's right, like you still, I think in development they may have gone a bit too far on bringing swarms back because, like Will said, they were just so absent from the meta. I think people got sick of like turret and ace wing, and they thought, "Hey, let's bring these swarms back in. We really need to give these guys a chance once again." So I think that's definitely going to be at the outset something that everyone's going to have to know how to beat. But
So speaking of it, of trying to squeeze as many B-Wings as possible, we were talking before the cast about sort of comparing the B-Wing and the X-Wing, and what are your thoughts on whether the B-Wing's better than the X-Wing? Because it seems like in 1.0, the B-Wing just kind of like replaced the X-Wing's role, and how do you see it figuring out at the moment?
Yeah, so basically, from the outset, I remember this is like the first article I ever read Paul Heaver wrote after he won Worlds in 2014, when he got into Wave 3, he instantly looked at B-Wing and thought it had a pretty good chassis for its point cost. And I remember these conversations sprouted up when Integrated was released, is what's better, Rookie or a Blue? And I think most people, even at that point, agreed that a Blue was still better, mm-hmm. mainly because of the barrel and the system. But in 2.0 now, obviously the X-Wing has barrel, and system isn't quite as good. So a lot of people are asking about, you know, durability. And so if we take two different examples, this will help give us an idea. This is not, obviously doesn't cover every single list you're going to run up against, but it gives you some kind of an idea of two different on opposite ends of the spectrum. So if you've got 4 attacks coming in of 3 dice with focus plus target lock into an X-Wing at range 2, with focus, that X-Wing's taken 7.2 damage on average, not counting crits. The B-Wing, same situation, has taken 9.1. And then if we look at, if we have 8 attacks of 2 dice with just focus, the X-Wing's taken 5.7 damage, same situation, range 2 with a focus. B-Wing's taken 8.3. So in the first example, the X-Wing is overkilled by 20%. The B-Wing's overkilled by 14% of its life. In the second one, the X-Wing doesn't die. It still has 5% of its life left on average. B-Wing's overkilled by 4%. So add those two together, it's only a difference of about 3%. So durability-wise, they both seem pretty close. But the X-Wing, when you compare it, it's got the same initiative value. Its dial is laughably better than the B-Wing's.
Yeah.
It has servo motors, so it can boost if it gets out of the fight or it wants to bail out. It can flip to that and help itself get back into the fight faster. I even think the X-Wing has a better upgrade bar, to be honest. I think.
Yeah, I agree.
For 2 points to change your hard twos to green, that's totally worth it. And I think R3 is totally worth it for 3 points. That's probably my big sleeper upgrade card at the outset, to be honest. Whereas the B-Wing, I don't really think any of the cannons are worth it or the torpedoes. And the only system I really consider is advanced sensors, which I think is probably too much at 8 points. So from the outset,
at least on a B-Wing.
At least on a B-Wing. So from the outset, it seems like, at least as far as generics go, the X-Wing is far and away a better value than the B-Wing. So
yeah, that's kind of seems just the same thing. All right, so let's go ahead.
The one possible exception is B-Wing's access to tractor beam.
And the B-Wing also does have linked red barrel into focus. Hmm. So
yeah,
that's one thing the X-Wing doesn't have. It does have boost into focus for red if with the flip servo. But
One B-Wing pilot that really did catch my eye, though, is 10 Num, which basically he gets the 2.0 version of Kian Farlander's ability from 1.0, which we all know that any of the named B-Wing pilots were, if they had any potential in 1.0, Farlander was the one, even though I think collectively we all know that they were a little bit overcosted and it didn't see too much play. Like, you know, Blair, you usually put the blues. There was a little bit of run of daggers when Bloody Daggers was a thing in wave 4. Being able to kind of use that advanced sensors ability and then be able to spend your stress to kind of change dice results, I think is pretty good. But 8 points for advanced sensors, it does push him up a little bit high on the price curve. But I don't know. I think it's a ship worth playing around with and seeing what it'll do.
So I think
it's interesting to note that he actually got worse ability wise because you can no longer spend a token for effect. So like you have to roll a focus for him to be able to spend that.
Oh, that's a thing. I didn't realize that was a change. Okay, then maybe that's a little bit worse. Because I guess the interesting thing with the B-Wing dial that I was seeing is things like, you know, being able to advance sensors barrel roll, then Talon hard one, and now you've got a stress token that you can spend as a focus mod. Now you're clear of stress and now you could potentially do it again the next turn. That's basically what I was kind of looking at as a very interesting thing with a B-Wing, but again, it's only on 10 Num and he's one of the higher priced pilots. So
the other thing though, Tyler, is he can also spend it on defense now, which he couldn't.
Yeah, he can. Prior. Absolutely.
Yeah. So that would be interesting. You are, I guess, going a little bit with the dice roll, but you got multiple dice rolls. Yeah, maybe you have to do the math a little bit on that to see how likely it is that you won't be able to spend the stress. But I mean, hell, if you end up with a turn where you can't, I mean, maybe that just sucks to be you.
All right, so I asked all of you guys ahead of time to pull up a list for 2.0 that not necessarily that you think's good or maybe you think's good, but certainly one that you want to try out. So I'm going to kind of jump into everybody's list here. Let's start off with Sable. What is a list that you want to try out in 2.0 now that we've got points down?
So this is what I will call a component list in by what I What I mean by that is that I think the components within it are pretty solid, but I have no idea if it fits together.
Okay.
Guri remains really good. In fact, she probably is better. Mm-hmm. Her initiative is 5 still, but that means she's much better.
Yeah, of course, relatively.
That they still have the cool barrel roll weirdness. Their dial is much better. They do have barrel into focus red, boost into focus red, along with focus and target lock. They've got a talent, a system, a torpedo, a mod, title. I really like the Star Viper. And
yeah, it looks
having
good.
The ability to get the focus token in 2.0 is really strong. So, of course, advanced sensors, which makes her crazy. Same with afterburners, which means that I could potentially do a banked barrel roll into a 3-sloop into a boost, which, good luck locking her down.
Yeah.
And I can get a focus out of that because okay. I'm next to you now. And then I just threw crack shot.
Yeah, yeah. Like her ability, she was almost good in a lot of, and overwhelmingly right. good in a lot of situations in 1. And it doesn't seem like she really changed much from 1 to 2, whereas everybody else just power level went down.
Yeah, no, Guri is much better at Initiative 5 than she was at PS5.
Yeah. So what other things are you bringing along with that?
I bring IG-88D, continuing my I want hyper crazy maneuverable ships because that's amusing. First, I love the medium base. The medium base is amazing. It's fun. It's weird. It's something I'm still learning. IG-88D has the same ability, except it's better because he can, if you reveal a sloop, you can use the hard turn or the forward template, easily turning into a K turn.
Whoa, I didn't see that. That's amazing.
Yep.
So yep. You can do wow, that's not bad.
If you reveal a sloop, you could effectively use any of the 3s on that side.
Nice.
So it's really good outmaneuver of put on him because he's going to be outside of your arc if I'm doing my job. Advanced sensors, because of course, and rigged cargo chute, just kind of as a final screw you.
And it's a good card.
Yeah, so I mean that feels like a really good component for 88 points. And then I brought Sonny Bounder.
Sonny Bounder! Because
Sonny Bounder.
Yeah, but I think he's... Okay, before, I thought he was good anyways, but...
Yeah.
It's exactly the same. I mean, is he cheaper now? It was initially, 15 or 14 points?
I think he's actually more expensive now. Yeah, he happened to fit in this list, and he also works on rerolls. So, let's say I roll... during attack at range 1, I roll 2 hits and a blank. And I spend my target lock to reroll that blank, and I get a hit. Maybe now four. I have 4 hits.
Yeah, it's so fun. All right, cool. So that's pretty awesome. I'm excited to check that out. Let's see here. Let's move to... Hey, Blair, all right, so what is a list that you want to check out for 2.0?
7 Z95s? No.
Why not 8?
Why not 8? So,
with Dead Man's
Report, can you fit that?
I don't think so. I've been looking at lists that you can fit 6 with, like, Drea Renthal and a dorsal turret.
So, it's a Fort and Sorry Point veterans and Leighton Ashera, all with Predator and HLC.
That's super interesting. So this is something that I've avoided actually in 2.0. Is
talk about the bullseye arc double down.
Yeah, exactly. Like I just cannot bring myself to like pick bullseye arc stuff. And you're just like all in. Like so you know, is this just like
I mean, go ahead. You're not dodging all of them.
As an aside, That's can funny. Fit 7 binary pirates with dead man switch and have 18 points left.
For just, harpoon, or for not harpoon, homing missiles.
Right.
All right, so you're just thinking that, like, because the thing is that those interceptors, I mean, they have 3 agility and stuff, I think is going to live a little bit longer now, too.
Yeah, it's going to live a lot longer. It's not going to get alpha off the board. It's not much arc dodgy stuff. I think it'd be kind of fun when you're looking at either 2 dice with a focus or 4 dice with full mods. Like, that just seems like super fun to try. You're not going to get them every time, but you got 5. Like, I've got some pretty good chances.
And that's going to absolutely decimate like anything.
Who's your other pilot?
If you see Han Solo, like, you're going to kill him.
Leighton Ishara.
Leighton, okay.
By the way, if you wanted to add homing missiles to the 7, you can add homing missiles to 6 of them with dead man switch on all of them.
That's just fine. Little Timmy,
I will hit you with 1 point. I will hit you with 1 point repeatedly, sir. Every time you take 1.
Now, take 7 damage or 6 damage.
So the one I'll jump in just because I haven't had a chance to go into this. So the one list that I wanted to, Will and I have been talking about a Rebel one, but the Imperial one I want to do is I want to do a Howl Swarm with a Vader shuttle. I want to get that back again. I want to check that out. So I want to do a Lambda with Vader and the 3-0 droid, and then Howl Runner and 3 Academies, and then I just picked Dalmico since I figured he would be useful at some point, and I want to try and see if I can make a shuttle swarm work. I think Darth Vader crew is really, really good.
Oh, yeah.
Like, that just seems real good.
You don't even have to spend the force charge on his ability either. Mm-hmm. You can just spend it as a force charge.
Yeah, and I figured the 000 droid, how do you pronounce that? Is that, because it's not 000, it's 000.
No, it's 000.
Right? It's 000. Yeah, it's 000. Right. So 000, I like the stress that the stress ability that he gives, or you get a calculate token. Sounds good. Vader is obviously really good with the force token and the fact that you can potentially do old school Vader stuff and not have to kill yourself. Sounds good. And then just a TIE swarm to just hit stuff in between. I don't know. Like it's a lot more tools than I had the first version. So, I mean, we'll give it a go. I don't know if it's the best TIE swarm, but I at least want to check it out for posterity. Sable, I have just because it's the Lambda shuttle, man. How do you think the Lambda fared in 2.0? I think reinforce and coordinate and jam is basically all I have to say about that.
And rear arc.
And rear arc.
Oh my God. I completely forgot about the rear arc. Yes.
I'm
so happy right now.
I'm still very, very upset that Coggy doesn't have a talent.
Okay, justice for Coggy. Hey, they can give him a talent though.
In
future releases, one of the benefits of 2.0. One thing I didn't actually get a chance to talk about this with design philosophy, but I do want to bring this up because it's something that I think about when building in 2.0. Now that it's sort of, you know, we don't necessarily know what's going to be good or bad. Is whenever I'm building stuff, I take into account, this is something the theorist taught me. You know, just basically make sure that your the stuff that you have the most points in, you tend to be able to protect no matter, like, so your most offensive ship, I try and make my most defensive ship, or my most expensive one, make my most defensive, to sort of just build balance into my list. Anyways, so let's, Will, I know you had a couple you were looking into. What are some lists that you're looking to run?
Yeah, so most of these, well, actually both of these kind of hinge around the parts I was kind of mentioning earlier, just because it's the little bit of 2.0 list building I've been able to kind of look at so far. But one of the fun, you know, lists, again, I have no claims that this is going to be the be all end all for a 2.0 list, but from a fun concept, one of the things I even liked in 1.0 is goofing around with the concept of ABXY, you know, having one of each of the various 4, you know, famous rebel fighters. And in this, because of the price points, you can actually fit some good ones. Wedge Arvel 10 and Horton
yes.
is something I've been playing around with.
Yes.
And I don't know if I've got the right kind of optimum pilots in there, but Wedge and Arvel are the two that I like most just from a personal standpoint. And then Horton works really well with Arvel because you get Arvel jamming up into there, getting his ability to trigger, and then now Horton gets a reroll. And then 10, I think, like I said before, I think with advanced sensors and that alone, that's all I would put on him. Seems possibly pretty good and pretty fun just from a sheer kind of maneuverability, still be able to mod dice after doing red maneuvers and whatnot. So that's one. And then the other one is literally just kind of keeping the Wedge Arvel, you know, combo together and then swapping out Horton and 10 for Lando with Nia Num. I think Lando looks like he's the best Falcon pilot in 2.0 because his ability when it triggers he can trigger him himself, like he can use it on himself. So that's an opportunity to kind of rotate your arc and then still mod your dice after rotating your arc. And if you're flying well and you don't have to rotate your arc, then you can pass that, you know, free action to, you know, either Wedge or Arvel, who, you know, if you can pass a boost to Arvel when he's already moved to trigger his ability, that seems pretty good. And Lando passes that action out to range 3 now.
So I had not even considered Predator on Arvel just because I've been just staring intimidation in the face ever since I saw Arvel. And that's interesting that your thought process is if you're going to run into him, you're probably going to be facing him.
I was thinking intimidation seemed sure about the 3 points. It seemed like or 2 or something. It seemed like it was a little bit over and I couldn't quite fit it in the list that I was talking about because you're a little bit point starved for upgrades and stuff. But I was Predator because you're bumping up anything. Really, if you're getting that bump shot, you're going to be in the bullseye arc. So you're a reroll.
I still think Intimidate is better in that list because it works on all of the shots against that target, not just Arvel's.
Yeah, I agree. I'm actually thinking about playing around with some of the upgrades, seeing if I can get that extra point for Intimidation on Arvel and see what I can work with. But I didn't want to give up the Ion Turret on Horton, and that's 6 points. So it's interesting. I'm not quite sure if, again, like I said, the pilot combos are the most optimum fit. Realistically speaking, I might just take 10 out and maybe put, you know, Thane or, you know, another X-Wing or something like that in there because you can get points shaved a little bit and probably still get the same offense efficiency. Maybe Porkins, you know, maybe Porkins.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. That's good. I will say that just as an aside, I think Wedge is going to be with us competitively for the life of this game.
I think Wedge is really good.
He isn't such a good ace killer.
The version I keep circling is elusive with chopper and afterburners. And just run that and he'll be able to arc dodge and be a little defensive.
Yeah, that seems pretty good. I've been toying around with trying to keep him cheaper because the lesson learned from 1.0 is when you dump a lot of points into Wedge, you're a sad panda.
Just dies. Wedge dies real easy.
Yeah, so I've been trying to keep him a little bit on the cheaper end. So I've been going with R4 and maybe Predator or maybe Marksmanship or Crackshot, you know, one of the cheap EPTs, and keeping him at that price point. So that's what I've been trying to do. But Elusive is a card that I'm interested in. But I was actually more intrigued by using Elusive on something like Howl Runner. You know, when you get an extra die. So,
yeah. So Tyler, I guess you're the last one. What is a 2.0 list that you are interested in checking out?
Well, that's me. Sorry.
Yeah.
I think so. I think you're the last one to go.
Yeah. Yep. Okay. So that's, I linked it in chat there. So when the Empire, so I'm looking at everything through the lens, right? That's the next thing I want to prepare for. And it's a weird, like, splash meta kind of thing. Yeah. So I have to, like, think in those terms. So we got Fearless for Empire. I was pushing for Sloan. There was a decent number of us that were pushing for Sloan, but Fearless won out in the end. It was real close. And I think Sloan is a really, really good card.
Yeah, I'm like, looking at it, and I hadn't seen that card before, no joke. And
Dark Horse, really good.
That's really mean.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it works on a couple of different levels. So, like, the first is the obvious, right? Like, you if you have Sloan, it's, well, I guess I'll back up. Because Ruthless and Sloan were both vastly in the lead and were the ones that were going to win, I just built a list with both of them. Nice. Like, hey, make it easier, right? And so that is Sloan on Whisper, who also has Ruthless. Then I have four of the Planetary Striker strikers. So the PS or the Initiative 1 strikers.
So those are like super blockers.
Just naked, right? Mainly because, like, playing with Ailerons over the last 3 weeks, they're really, really fun. Like, that's just a cool way to move your ships around. They do really cool stuff. Like, the one boost into a one hard turn is just a nice, like, ability kind of a thing.
Yeah.
And they're real fast. Like, man, are they fast.
It's so weird on a medium base ship.
Yeah.
It's just weird.
Those are medium bases? Oh, my God. Those are going to block.
No. Strikers are not. No. Strikers are small.
Okay. But still, either way, that's going to block out the sun. You can show up and block out of anywhere.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Oh, yeah. You're not wrong.
Which goes in well with Ruthless, right?
Right. So Ruthless and Sloan trigger together really well because I'm going to have two of them probably jamming you, two of them on the flank. Mm-hmm. And typically with a Sloan carrier, you want something that's hard to kill or at least a really hard shot that you don't want them your opponent's perspective, they don't want to waste shots shooting at Whisper, right? Yeah. Or trying to track Whisper because you have these four PS1 ships that have three dice guns that are just going to be rolling up and shooting you, mm-hmm. right? So you generally feel like you have to deal with them. Now the drawback is if you deal with them and shoot them, all the other ones are going to get two rerolls against you and you're double stressed.
Right.
So they're going to be able to get to that position they need to either block you or just make you have a bad day on the next turn. The other side of it is I basically get a swarm with rerolls that doesn't have to be next to each other. Right? Like I have to be range 0 of 3 range 0 of 3 of the Sloan carrier. So Whisper just has to be like in the same quadrant of the board of my other ships to really provide this.
That's enough range for you to still do Whisper stuff.
Right, exactly. She can still run. She can still make it hard to try to track her, all that kind of stuff. She's at initiative 5. She's going to have focus evade, maybe 2 evades a lot of the times when you're trying to shoot at her. Mm-hmm. And then she's going to ruthless the guys on the joust to increase her damage output to make them become lower hit points so that they have a risk of getting one shot by someone that's a priority target.
Is this
target.
The Imperial version of Dead Man Switch?
Yeah, I mean, 100% is. Because now you get double stressed and I get to shoot you really hard the rest of the turn. Yeah,
I gotta be honest. That sounds
just
really fun.
I'm really sad that Sloan doesn't work on herself.
What do you mean?
Like if Sloan is destroyed, the attacker doesn't get the stress.
I mean, I'm okay with that because that like it. I think it was designed in the sense that like it should be on a Reaper and that's like something uh-huh. that they could mm-hmm. you can shoot, but you generally don't want to waste your shot shooting at it because it's just like, oh, that's not going to affect you as much. I'm sure. Taking it the other side of it and going, hey, try to shoot me. Like, I'm going to make this as hard as possibly can to shoot this ship.
While your other ones are swarming and...
Yeah, well, you have a bunch of other shots that you need to take right in your face.
That looks mean, dude.
So that's my initial thought. Like, I don't know as it's... I mean, it feels really good. I don't know as it's, like, tier 1 or anything like that. But yeah, just being able to, like, jam up a TIE swarm and then just kind of lighting them up. And you get into those weird situations where it's like, do you want to roll with Howlrunner? Because you don't want Howlrunner to get double stressed. That seems bad, right?
Yeah.
Because I will absolutely let you kill the show. Like, oh no, I rolled 2 focus on my 2 defense dice and I have a focus token. Looks like my guy isn't going to use his action and die. Oh no.
You take stress. Oh no.
Yeah. Right. So.
That's awesome. I love that. All right. So let's kind of wrap up our main topics. Does anybody have anything they want to cover in sort of 2.0 points that we didn't talk about? Am I missing anything here?
Just real quick, I was kind of glancing at my kind of toolbox list and just mm-hmm. swapping out different pilots. I actually think going with Horton and Dutch, both with Proton Torps, and Wedge and Arvel with intimidation and homing missile might be really good. I don't know. That
sounds really good.
Oh my god. I'm in.
It sounds real fragile. Like it's going to punch really well, but it's going to fold real quick.
Yeah, it's one of those goofy things where it's like I'm really banking on the R3 Astromechs holding the proton or holding the locks and Dutch passing a lock and Horton getting I don't know. I was just goofing around and I was like, "Ooh, that fits." Maybe that's an option. So, I did really like Dutch. Playing around with Dutch in the 2.0 event, I really think he's solid.
Did you talk about how different Dutch is from 1.0?
No, but actually that's a good point. So, in 2.0, Dutch's ability, first thing at first glance, it now passes locks to friendlies up to range 3. But the real kicker is you can pass it to that ship and it doesn't matter on range restrictions for that ship. So, for example, you can pass it over your head to something that's completely out of range and you still get the lock token.
Yeah.
So... That means you could theoretically lock something pretty much across the board. You know?
The verbiage difference change there is Dutch used to allow the other ship to take a target lock, so you had to be within range. Now it just passes them a lock, so it doesn't matter what range you are.
Yeah, so it's a very subtle change, but it really affects what you do with it on the board.
100%.
Yeah, I was tossing alley-oop target locks to Luke, you know, over his head all throughout that 2.0 event, and it was super fun.
So that's our 2.0 talk. I do want to announce our winner for the paint contest that we've had up for a minute. The contest was send us a paint job of one of the, you know, one of the recently released ships, either the Reaper, the X-Wing, or the U-Wing. And Jimmy Anderson sent in painted Reapers, U-Wings, and X-Wings. And so I'm like, well, if you did all three, you're going to win. So congratulations. We're going to send, we'll get in touch with him and send him a, you know, one of the new waves, or I guess wave 0.5 or 14, whatever you want to call it. I do want to do a new contest though. I want to do your favorite, your best list for Rebel, Imperial, and Scum, and send us one of each. And I think that we can maybe buy one of like a conversion kit or something like that. So send it to scumandvillainy@podcast@gmail.com. And we look forward to seeing that. Anyways, I think that's about all we have to talk about. Is there anything I'm missing before we wrap a bow on this thing? Guess not. All right. So for Tyler Tippett, since he, you know, last in, first out, better known as Star Slimminger, the ship's cook, and for Will Barnacle, better known as Will, the ship's designated driver, Blair Bunky, better known as Scruffy, and Sable Griffin, better known as Mark Fletcher, or the other way around, who cares? I'm Richard White. Thank you, Galactic Colonet, and good hunting.